Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We were taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us next hour. We'll get into all things Titans and Predators with him. So looking forward to that conversation. Joe, the reclamation project at quarterback. It is a very popular thing in today's NFL, more popular than it ever has been before. We've talked about some recent examples of success, the latest of which is Sam Darnold, who began his career with the Jets, has kind of bounced around all over the place, whether that was in Carolina, San Francisco, his breakout season last year in Minnesota. Geno Smith, also drafted by the Jets, a breakout season with the Seattle Seahawks a couple years ago. He's been the starter there ever since. Baker Mayfield doing good things in Tampa Bay. And as Ben Solak points out here on his piece at ESPN.com, you can throw Ryan Tannehill in that mix too, baby. Ryan Tannehill.
Absolutely.
Ryan Tannehill, not the same as like a Darnold or a Geno Smith. Like, he had moderate levels of success in Miami, you know, threw for 4,000 yards multiple years. Was not a bust, but also probably did not live up to being the number 8 overall pick, which is what he was.
Right, like he got a second deal.
Right.
But then, yeah, they were ready to move on. He hurt his knee, all that stuff, and they were like, okay, time for Tua. Tua time.
Yeah, like there are other examples of success. Jared Goff, who in his first stop did take a team to a Super Bowl, lost Super Bowl, but took a team to a Super Bowl, had some years of really good football. They move on to Stafford, make the trade. And he's doing well in Detroit. You've also had some quote-unquote reclamation projects at quarterbacks that have not gone well over the last few years. Carson Wentz, after his first stop in Philadelphia, didn't go so hot for him in Indianapolis.
Well, he peaked at his first stop.
He did.
He actually was good, at least, at his first stop. His first stop made all the other stops like, ooh, this could be interesting. And then it's like, oh, no, he is not good.
Exactly. Like, Solak brings up my guy Jameis, who – I'd say up and down would be how you describe Tampa. Like, he threw for a ton of yards. He also threw for an enormous amount of interceptions at Tampa. And he has not been able to be a starting quarterback since then. Justin Fields in Chicago got a little bit of a look last year. And then he also threw Josh Rosen, Paxton Lynch, and Mitch Trubisky in this example as well, which Rosen, I don't even know if he was around long enough to be in this conversation.
I thought he was cut 5 minutes into his NFL career.
So there's all that. The point is, there have been several examples over the last few years of the reclamation project at quarterback working. There have been several examples of it not working out so well. So I guess the question is, if you're the Titans looking at this offseason, and you've got some of these guys that we just threw out there that could be options for them, what have we learned about like quarterbacks on their second or third stop? What's the key to those acquisitions working out, and how do you view all this if you're the Titans? So that goes through a lot of interesting things here, which we'll get to some of those that he puts in his article. And he kind of goes through like the keys to a successful quarterback reclamation, the first of which being, quote, the quarterback actually has to be sort of good. And he talks about like where these guys were drafted, right? Like Darnold was third overall, Mayfield was first, Tannehill was eighth. Like there's obviously a base level of talent that a lot of these guys have that they didn't live up to in their first stop, whether that's because of the situation that they're in, the organization they were drafted by, but there's a baseline level of talent that a lot of these guys have had. One thing that he also gets to, which we'll get into here in just a few minutes, he's like, his headline is, great coaching definitely helps, but great wide receiver play might be more important. Like, go look at some of these guys, whether that's Tannehill with A.J. Brown here, Darnold with Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. You know, Geno Smith's had D.K. Metcalf out there. Like, they've had really good wide receivers that have been a huge part of this. Baker Mayfield's had Godwin and Mike Evans down in Tampa. There's a pretty common theme with these guys that have worked out in their next stops, all having, like, either elite-level receiver play or pretty close to it out there. That's gone hand in hand with this. I mean, Goff with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, there's a lot of examples on that you can point to. So That's a long-winded way, Joe, of me getting to this question of if you're the Titans and you're sitting here looking at all this, you're looking around the NFL with all the reclamation projects at quarterback that have gone on over the last few years. There's been a lot of them. How do you view it? What do you think we've learned from it? And what's the key to making it work if you're the Titans?
Yeah, well, you have to be up for it for sure. The second best quarterback in this franchise's history in Tennessee is a reclamation project. And one of the guys mentioned in this piece. So I mean, you have to be open to it. It's obviously not a slam dunk. When you said that with the high picks, like a lot of times it's guys who, you know, who came out very highly regarded. I was trying to think of like examples where that wasn't the case. Like, well, Russell Wilson was, but Russell Wilson was best at his first stop.
Right.
And he hasn't been as good. Kirk Cousins, fourth round pick, but he's never. Yeah, I guess you could say like the Minnesota would have been a reclamation. I mean, you know, he was a coveted free agent. They tagged him twice. Washington did. He got out. It's still a little bit different. And I mean, I think the reclamation project almost has to be the highly drafted guy who disappointed to some extent, right?
Yeah.
So, no, I think it's – look, I think we're going to see more of it. And, you know, is it just because, like, going from bad situation to good situation? Is it because some people just need more time or they just had bad luck? I mean, I look at Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield was pretty good in Cleveland, man. And then he got hurt. And – I mean, obviously, if they could go back, they would do that completely differently.
Yes, they
right?
would.
But, I mean, at the time, I don't remember everybody screaming about it like it was, like, the biggest crime in the world that they were going to move on, right? But he's a – I mean, he was pretty good there. Some of these guys weren't good at their first stops, but also they were in such bad situations. I mean, the two Jets guys,
yep.
right? So some of it is – you know, it's like being able to see the situation for what it is and how much does that affect a quarterback. You know, PK thinks that Will Levis at some point could be one of these guys.
Right.
Look, if I'm his agent making the case for him, I'm saying, okay, let's go look at back what Will Levis had to do. Now, we all watched Will Levis play last year, and I think most people would agree that it just wasn't good enough. I just isolate him and – even with all the things around him, it wasn't good enough. Doesn't mean it couldn't be someday, but I'm not hitching my wagon to that if I'm an NFL franchise. So, but as far as the Titans for their next answer, yeah, I mean, I think Darnold is a great example of one good year. So is that what he is? Or those conditions you mentioned, you can't really have much better than Jefferson, and really, I mean, all the skill around him, plus the coach and play caller, really strong. So is Darnold about to take off? Was that a sign of things to come, or did he benefit greatly from an incredible situation and he's going to just kind of be okay moving forward?
Yeah, like another thing that most of these guys have in common is their first situation – was with bad organizations. Like I brought up the two Jets guys and Darnold and Smith. We know what the Browns are. Like that's where Baker Mayfield was. Tannehill with the Dolphins. Like are the Dolphins a bad organization? And then a whole lot of winning over the last couple of decades. Like it's just – they're kind of just meh.
You know, the funny thing about the Tannehill, the Dolphins, they had decent receivers, but not great receivers. But, you know, the year that he had a great year – they made the playoffs was the year that Jay Ajayi went nuts.
Yes.
And they ran the ball, and they actually had a balanced offense. And then he gets hurt, and he can't play in the playoff game. And they lose to the Steelers with what's his name? Who the heck was that QB?
Matt Moore? Is
yes.
That who it was? Yeah.
Yes, thank you. So, but that was the one year where it was like it all kind of came together. But, yeah, like he didn't have – he actually produced pretty well given, you know, not terrible, but not great circumstances by any means.
Yes. Well, and then there's Goff, right? Like, Goff was certainly not in a bad situation in L.A. Like, Solak in the article says, like, Goff initially looks like the counterpoint here. The Rams are a sharp team, but it's actually a perfect look at the process. In the first half of the McVay-Goff partnership, McVay proved that it could be done with Goff, that great scheming could minimize the flaws of a pocket passer prone to high-risk throws while maximizing his delightful arm talent. when the McVay-Goff relationship crumbled and the Lions looked into resuscitating Goff's career, they weren't betting on an unsuccessful player from a bad team. They were hoping to replicate the fleeting success of that Sharp team on a longer, more dependable arc. So the Goff one does kind of feel like a different – he's an outlier from the rest of these guys that came from just horrific situations for the most part.
Yeah, the Goff one is really interesting because it just seemed like he got bad. Like, they go to the Super Bowl and he got bad. He got benched, and he and McVay obviously didn't get along. You know, you figure McVay, given what McVay is going to have a very high standard for QB. But, yeah, it went sour. And so, yeah, I'm sure to some great segments we had on here about Goff back then. I was like, yeah, he's trash heap, you know. Perfect for the Lions. Enjoy that, Lions. He can get you 5 wins.
Yeah.
And then we saw what happened. So, but at least there was a high level of success. I mean, I remember the Goff Mahomes 54-51 Thursday night football game. Yeah, that, you know, yeah, I mean, obviously, what's his name gets wide open all the time, Cooper Kupp, and they had Robert Woods and whoever back then. But I mean, yeah, that required a lot of good throws, too. Like, the guy was playing at a high level. You at least had tape of that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. What do we make of the reclamation quarterback projects that have gone well in the NFL? Could the Titans take advantage of that this offseason? Plus, another part of this that Ben Solak writes about that seems to be a pretty common theme that I'm interested to see how the Titans could possibly solve that problem. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Got some tickets to give away. See the Predators take on the Winnipeg Jets at Bridgestone Arena this Thursday night. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Winnipeg Jets at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Thursday night. Taking your thoughts on the quarterbacks around the league. We've gone through the reclamation project at quarterback, which seems to be more common than ever before in the league. Some have worked out very well. Some have not. Titans with an opportunity to do that this offseason if they want to. And the guys available, obviously Darnold's the key one that we've talked about. You've mentioned Justin Fields. He is expected to be out there and available if the Titans want to do that. Daniel Jones coming off a less than stellar season for the Giants could be out there. Jameis Winston could be out there. I mean, look, if you want to get crazy, Zach Wilson could be out there. Like, that's,
we haven't talked about him in a while.
Zach Wilson, I mean – you know, as Solak in this piece on ESPN.com, he's listing off all these guys. He's got, you know, pretty lengthy descriptions of Daniel Jones and Jameis Winston and Justin Fields. It gets to Zach Wilson, and it says, quote, I mean, probably not, but there's a chance, man. That's all it says on Zach Wilson.
I thought you were going to tell me he just said cougar time or something like that. I mean, look.
That could also factor in.
Hey, I covered a Titans-Jets game in which Zach Wilson made a couple plays. I was like, wow, Vrabel, you just lost to Zach Wilson, bro. Was this a Vrabel special? Yeah. He just ran around and winged a 50-yarder on the run downfield to, like, I think to Corey Davis, right?
It was Corey Davis, yeah.
Torched you. Every once in a while, man, that guy will make some plays, and you're like, okay, I can see it. But, yeah, like, I think we've seen enough from him to discount him, I think.
It's interesting that Solak goes to, he gets through all these people, and he says, all right, so which teams qualify as, like, potential turnaround homes for these guys? And he throws Atlanta out there, which is interesting, but, like, the QB2 spot, like, if Penix went down. The Rams, depending on what happens with them, Minnesota with the Darnold stuff. The Giants are included in there. The Jets are included in there because Garrett Wilson's on the team. He says, which teams don't qualify? The Colts, number two on his list. The Titans.
Yeah.
He says, Calvin Ridley comes in below my bar of, quote, elite enough wide receiver to save a floundering quarterback. And the Titans will either draft a quarterback first overall or pass on a quarterback with the top pick. The Titans changed general managers in 2023, head coaches in 2024, general managers again in 2025. I let them figure things out before I hitch my wagon there, is what Ben Solak says.
Totally. I agree with all that. Now, I will say, you know, that's the thing. You can change quick. If you have good choices, you can quickly change a situation. You really can't. So I like Solak a lot, especially because he and I are totally aligned that Travis Hunter is going to be an all-time great cornerback in the NFL. And for the most part, I agree with that assessment of Tennessee. But if you're thinking about a long-term situation, I mean, you do have to also look at the Titans and figure they're going to draft a receiver, right?
You would
at some point. So you may end up having. But a lot of it is. It's like if you're a player and you look at the Tennessee Titans, yes, they're bad. You know they're bad. And so what is there to like? Okay, you can definitely talk yourself into, well, they have a great offensive line coach, so you would hope that that part of the team would get better pretty quickly. And then it's like, I like Nashville. Everybody likes Nashville, right?
Yeah.
I think everybody has that as a plus on the pros and cons list. But that's like, how much does just the turmoil, the constant firing, all that stuff make you think, man, they're just not going to figure it out? They've turned themselves into this bad franchise in the league where like they're just going to keep spinning their wheels.
Last thing, like, are around the league with the players, are the Titans viewed as the Jets or the Browns? Some of these bad organizations that we've talked about here that are on this list. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. The Titans are pretty good. You know, that's how quickly things can change in the NFL. But like, if you're a Titans fan looking for hope, well, that's how quickly things can change in the NFL. I mean, it's pretty fluid in the National Football League. The point he brings up about receivers is really interesting in this. Like, you go through pretty much all of them, right? Like, Darnold, we know the receivers he had. Geno had a pretty good Tyler Lockett and a really good DK Metcalf, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, like pretty good receivers. We know Mayfield. I mean, he's got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin down there. Tannehill, when he was here, the success here was right in line with A.J. Brown, right? Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, there's been hand-in-hand with all these guys that have worked out in their second or third stop. It's been pretty high-level wide receiver play that right now the Titans just don't have.
Yeah. It's also, like, almost inexcusable for an NFL team to not have at least one really good wide receiver.
I agree.
You know? I mean, some don't. So, obviously, they've screwed up.
Yeah.
But you look at some of these teams that have several. Yeah, I will say with Goff, I mean, yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's a little different in terms of not having, like, the deep threat guy. But you can get a first down whenever you want with him.
Right.
And it's almost like Mahomes with Kelsey. Where it's like, when it comes down to it, maybe not this year as much, but when it comes down to it, like, if they need to make a play, he will make a play for them.
Right.
And
exactly.
That's what St. Brown
well,
is.
Well, I would agree with Ben Solak's assessment here. Like, Calvin Ridley, I don't think is really that guy. Like, I think Calvin Ridley on a good team, I think could be a good two.
Yep.
Like, I think that could be what he is. And look, quite frankly, about halfway through last year, I wondered if he was that.
A decent three?
Like, yeah. I was like, man, he's
a solid four.
And, you know, obviously the quarterback play around here last year was brutal. But, like, if you watch the games, it wasn't just the quarterback that was having problems early on last year with the Levis-Ridley connection. Like, Ridley was not doing a lot of the right things. And then, you know, to his credit, he figured it out as the year went on and ended up being more productive in an offense that was terrible. But, like, looking ahead here, if you're going to go the reclamation quarterback route, like if you're going Daniel Jones this offseason or even Sam Darnold, like if that's what you're doing, like how aggressive do you have to be if you're the Titans to really bolster that wide receiver position? And how much can you do that in one offseason? That's going to be the question.
Yeah, unless somehow the Higgins thing were to happen, Or, you know, you trade down a little bit and you take Tet McMillan and he's as great as the highest hopes would say.
Yep.
You know, he's maxed out what people would hope he would be. You know, something like that. A pretty slim opportunity to me. There are always surprises. No one was thinking A.J. Brown's going to be what he was. In the first game in the NFL, he takes 150 yards on a little stick route in Cleveland. You're like, oh, gee.
He's pretty good.
And it just kept going from there. So you don't know. But still, even when he was drafted, I thought that was a great second-round pick after watching him at Ole Miss, right? I mean, yeah. you could see he could play. Ed says, if we're open to outside reclamation projects, what about the internal one we already have? So I was like, wait a minute. Are you saying you want to, like, just keep going with Levis? He said, no, but that would mean you're carrying two reclamation QBs, which would mean you need to carry a third. Well, that would be part of the reason, you know, to move on from Levis, and whatever you do at starter, then have a quote-unquote regular backup quarterback.
Yeah, like, I mean, are we going to be having a conversation 2-3 years from now about reclamation quarterbacks and he's one of them? Like, is he going to be one of them at some point? I don't know. Like, quite frankly, it's hard for me to get there having watched him play. But it would have been hard for me to get there having watched Sam Darnold play with the Jets, yep. Right? Geno yeah. Smith, it would have been hard for me to get there too. So I'm not going to sit here and say he's not. Just you can't turn the football over the rate he turns the football over.
Right. Texter mentioned, you know, some of these young guys who could be this later. Caleb Williams, Bryce Young. You know, we'll see. Caleb, you know, in both cases, I mean, the Bears might be building something decent around Caleb Williams. I mean, yeah. Ben Johnson's a good hire. Bryce Young's interesting because they're still crap, and he got a lot better. I mean, the benching actually worked last year or whatever, or he came back from it. I still think he's got some good football ahead of him. I mean, but will it be there?
You know, it doesn't look like things are going to work out for – Richardson with Indianapolis, but like with his physical skill set, could he, I don't know, 3 years down the road be one of these guys?
Could
maybe.
Be. Yeah.
The thing with him is like, I mean, he completed 47% of his passes last year. Like, is that, how much better is that going to get
yeah,
moving forward?
It's got to get way better.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the quarterback front. The Rob Rant coming up later this hour. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Great song. The song's on NCAA Football 06. Fires me up. One of the greatest games of all time. Rex Road's a big fan.
I'm so excited that you like a Pixies song. It's an absolute banger.
Yeah.
From the album Doolittle.
Yeah, there you go.
Check it out, young people. Pixies. First two albums, two of the best albums of all time.
Good stuff. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Got one texter going to our quarterback conversation. Says, if we get a great wide receiver, we'll just trade him so we don't have to pay him. That was two regimes ago now. So maybe a different philosophy here coming up.
Yeah, it's not. Different people. This is what I get after PK for, you know, the whole wide receiver thing. It's like, okay, great. I mean, those are different people picking players back then.
But according to some around here,
it's
you know, Amy was the one that traded AJ.
Oh, well, there's that too. Well, let's not start that debate. Yeah, Chase and Big Joe want to just completely absolve J-Rob.
Look, I don't know what Amy thought.
Well, I mean, look, we all – well, yes, you do. You know that Amy signed off on it.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
That's who you want to blame.
Amy forcing J-Rob to do it. That's a new one.
It is. Hey, you know, as the years go on, maybe that's the story that's told one day.
If I'm J-Rob, I want that out there as much as possible.
You wouldn't believe the link she went through to make me trade A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Rabel was disgusted by it. That's what his reaction was on the draft for everyone to see.
I mean, that's what I would have told the Jags when I was trying to get that job. Didn't work.
I mean, he didn't even make it as a finalist in that one. It kind of feels like it's going to be hard to come by another general manager job for him right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously pretty soon he's going to get a job somewhere with someone.
Doing something.
Yeah, in personnel. And then, you know, maybe at some point he can build if where he goes wins big, you know. Then you can maybe get another crack at it. And if he can continue to tell Rappaport's agent, Rappaport will tweet about it.
Ian, I need you to tweet something for me, please.
John Robinson had nothing to do with A.J. Brown trade.
Yeah, like it's not – we talk about it not being a great offseason on the quarterback front. It's not a great offseason on the finding the answer at wide receiver front either. Like, you know, assuming T. Higgins gets tagged by Cincinnati, there's just not a lot out there free agent-wise at wide receiver. And then, you know, we've talked about the draft part of it. Could you end up getting, you know, Tet McMillan? Do the Titans totally disagree with Rex Road and they think Travis Hunter is going to be an elite wide receiver in the NFL? Maybe. Like, maybe your answer comes somewhere in the draft. But it is like this reclamation quarterback conversation. It's not a new conversation on the Darnold front specifically. Like, one of the things you're going to have to figure out if you're the Titans or anybody else is how much of that was him and how much of that is he's playing with Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, and he's being coached by Kevin O'Connell. Like, you're just not going to run into that situation a ton in his next stop, if there is a next stop. Now, if it's McVay, maybe you do. I mean, they've got Puka Nacua. They've got McVay. Sure. It's not the same, but it's a pretty good situation.
Good back, yeah. Yeah, and obviously McVay – I mean, they have a pretty good feel for, I mean, really on both sides of the ball. You know, they seem to hate picks. They always, you know, rip on picks. But then when they actually use picks, they use them pretty well.
Yeah.
So that could be a pretty good situation. Yeah, I mean, look, if you're, like you said, if you're Darnold, in the way Solak broke it down, Darnold looking at here and it's like, yeah, I'm Calvin Ridley's, I mean, he's good.
Fine. Yeah.
It's a good, you're fine with him as part of your receiver room. As the clear headliner with a whole bunch of question marks afterward, that's not great.
No, and, you know, Calvin Ridley, it's so easy to just wash last season away and blame it on the quarterback, right? Like, really, if you want to look the last 2 years, you know, we've seen how it's gone with Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence, you know, he signs the big deal. Like, I'm really interested to see the way he plays this year coming back. It just kind of feels like he is what he is at this point in the NFL, which is an okay quarterback. But you're talking about the last 2 years. It's been basically identical production from the end standpoint of it, if you're Ridley. He had 76 catches for 1,016 yards in 2023. He ended up with 64 for 1,017 last year with the Titans. So basically the same exact amount of yardage put out there. Now, he did average 15.9 a catch for the Titans last year, so that's a pretty good number. I mean,
it's a good number.
That's the highest number of his career, 15.9 a catch. So maybe there's an explosive part of it that's still there for him that you can tap into with the next quarterback. But he's also 30 now. Like, he's 30. So how quickly does the speed that's made him really effective, how quickly does that start to go the other way? Really, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as of now, based on last year, I think great acceleration, especially you get him the ball in his hands and he can really turn it on. So he's, you know, it's not really a deep threat guy by, you know, traditional terms, but he can, I mean, he made some plays vertically too. So, I mean, you know, again, it turned out pretty well, especially given, like you said earlier, how bad it was early in the season where it was like, there were a few week stretch there. It was like he was doing nothing, and so if you look at his last, I can look at it here, but like his last probably 10, 11, 12 games, that was the kind of production you're very happy to get. He's got to have, you know, there's got to be another receiver, at least one other receiver that concerns defenses.
Well, the other thing is, you know, 2023 he had 76 catches. He was targeted 136 times. So, I mean, that's not exactly the rate that you're looking for. And then last year it got worse. He was 64 catches on 120 targets. That's almost dead right down the middle at 50%.
Yeah.
So
you got to be at a higher percent.
You could look at that and say, well, that's on the quarterback. Like, the quarterback can't get in the ball the last couple of years. If you get a quarterback in here that can, how much does the percentage go up and the production go up if you're Ridley?
But I think it's also, and this came out of Jacksonville after he left, and we saw it last year, it's also on him a decent amount.
Agreed.
Right?
Yep.
And so, because, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, you may not think Trevor Lawrence is great, but I feel like Trevor Lawrence knows what he's doing, has command of the offense, and if there's a new receiver in a given year and that stat comes out, I'm probably going to put a lot of blame on the receiver. And then when you combine it with what we saw last year and heard, yeah. So, I don't know. Does that get better in year two? Of course, it's going to be a different guy throwing.
I mean, the thing is, though, like, he didn't really have that problem early in his career. Like, his catch rate with his targets earlier in his career in Atlanta was just a lot better. So, why has it gone the other way? Now, obviously, Trevor Lawrence and Will Levis are not Matt Ryan throwing him the ball. We get that. But you're right. Like, we had DeRocco on, who covers the Jags, before the season last year, and we were talking with him about Ridley, and he talked about, like, some of the conversation out of Jacksonville was he didn't always know where to be and know what to do. And I think you saw that early in the year last year.
Yes. Got better, so that's good. But so is that like because of, you know, same offense, it'll stay better, or do you have to, you know, you have to totally relearn the next quarterback, and is that going to be a big learning curve? Real quick, Ron says, history shows Titans get rid of anybody who's good, wants more money. Henry Conklin, A.J. Cook, McNair, Mason, everyone who was ever great in Nashville, it sucks. Well, I will say that Derrick Henry, Taylor Lewan, Kevin Byard, Jeffrey Simmons, Harold Landry, Amani Hooker, and these are just off the top of my head. These are guys who were part of a lot of winning, who were great to very good players who got second deals. So I don't think it's that simple.
No, like people can say Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry got his second deal.
Exactly.
Now they eventually let him go, and again,
and he was incredible.
I still
last
think
year.
People think that there's just like this. It's like, well, Derrick Henry would have never left here if the Titans didn't want him to go. It's like, Derrick Henry probably wanted to get out of here as much as, like, Derrick Henry's not stupid. He could see this coming.
Yes. Now, if the Titans would have given him a sweet offer of extension while he was still here that year, would he have accepted? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they didn't. You know, but yes, I agree. It was a two-sided decision.
Yeah.
For sure.
By the way,
you know, AJ,
he made the right decision.
AJ, you should totally complain about AJ. Conklin was defensible, as we've talked about.
No, AJ's the one. Where it's just like
AJ's a disaster.
Man. Yeah,
Conklin got an offer. Titans just didn't. It wasn't enough. You know, I mean, the Browns paid him more, so he left. But it wasn't like not paying you at all.
No, the one thing you could have a problem about Conklin with is they didn't pick up his fifth year, right? And then now he had been hurt, so like you can go both ways on that. But it is kind of amazing when you look at. What has been at right tackle since Jack Conklin left here?
That is definitely one of those you'd go back and probably change. But again, he's continued to be hurt a lot. So.
Yes.
But one-legged Conklin is better than a lot of the offensive tackle play you've had in the last few years.
737-1025, our phone number. The Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
All we're trying to do every offseason, right, is put ourselves in the best position to get a player that we're trying to get. And if something like this would detract from that, lessen our chances, I don't know. I think he might be a little more apt to do the change that I did than people think. Because it was about winning.
And it just felt like the right time for this to happen. And I think overall it's going to be a really good thing. It'll probably be a little weird for a lot of us that have, had this policy for a long, long time.
Breaking news, baby. The New York Yankees are allowed to grow beards. I had forgotten about this, Joe. I had forgotten about how there was... You know, a policy where they can't grow facial hair. Still one of the most jarring images in my sports lifetime. You know, I was, at the time, playing baseball all the time. It was my sport growing up. The Red Sox-Yankees rivalry of the early to mid-2000s was great. Obviously, 2004, the Red Sox come back, they win the World Series. Johnny Damon, big part of those Red Sox teams early on. You know, he had the long hair, the shaggy beard all over the place. And one of the most jarring images of my life was when he signed with the Yankees and he showed up like totally clean shaven.
Sell out.
I was like, who's that guy? That's not Johnny Damon. It was Johnny Damon who could not grow a beard. This policy has been in place for 49 years, have not been able to grow a beard. I mean, they're talking about it right
Talk
now.
Talk about the timing,
on
man.
ESPN.
Talk about timing.
Like, it's kind of Hal Steinbrenner put out this big, long statement. From the Yankees social media, you heard Hal Steinbrenner, some of his comments there, and he's talking about, you know, it's the appropriate time to move beyond the familiar comfort of our former policy, and went into really a nice philosophical discussion, Joe, about how, like, beards nowadays with men who are, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, it's part of who they are. Like, it's part of their character. It's a part of their persona. Do I totally relate to that? It's difficult for me. I'm an older guy who's never had a beard in his life. But it's a very important thing to them. That's what Hal Steinbrenner said. So the most important thing for me was to sit down face-to-face with several of our players and several of our senior staff. Look, I realize that there are plenty of jobs around the United States of America that have like their own dress code and policies and things like that. And at the end of the day, was this really the world's biggest deal? No. But the fact that they had this no beard policy in place for 49 years is one of the dumbest things I think I've ever heard of. I had forgotten about it totally until they'd gotten rid of this thing. And the fact that it's now gone, I'm glad it's gone, I guess. But it's also like, man, if you're the Yankees and you have standards and you think you're better than everybody else, just uphold it, man. What are you doing? Why are you caving in?
Yeah, now is when, now it's beard, open season on beards.
Now, you can't, again, to be clear, like, you can't go crazy with this. They did specify it's got to be well-groomed.
Can't go.
So what does that mean?
Can't go mountain man. Can't go Nashville, East Nashville coffee shop beard. Okay.
Yeah, but so where's the line for well-groomed beards? We're going to have to get Kuharski's takes on this.
That is, yes, I definitely want
to hear
what
it is. It's an unfortunate part
saying.
About his team. I'd forgotten about this policy.
Well, I did too, and I said this last week. I swear that in the 1980s, Don Mattingly had a freaking mustache. I mean,
I
swear that I have a baseball card with Don Mattingly with a mustache.
No, you're correct. I believe they have been allowed to have a mustache, but just no beard.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe, like, I'm on a piece from CNN right now. It says, the rule had drawn criticism from various players over the years. Don Mattingly was famously benched for a game in 1991 after he refused to cut his hair, an incident which was later parodied in the Homer at the Bat episode of
yes,
the
Simpsons. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, Don Mattingly.
Don, your hair's too long. Go to the bench.
That was a great all-time episode. Okay, so if mustaches were allowed, then I'm not crazy. All right, good. Because I'd forgotten about it too. Honestly, the only time that it's really it's really come up was the Damon thing. Because the Damon thing was jarring.
It was weird.
I already hate like the Red Sox, Yankees. I know like in college sports now, like Bama, Auburn just go back and forth, whatever. But yes, he looked so different. It was like a completely different dude.
Yeah, it was creepy. Now, there is a theory that, that has been thrown out there. And I think Nick Frazier brought this to Keezer's attention. Like, it doesn't look like things are going to work out very well between Vlad Guerrero Jr. and the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
He's got a beard.
He does.
Could the Yankees be like, all right, we'll let you can grow your beard out. We're reversing our policy. We'll just go get Vlad Guerrero Jr. and he can play for the Yankees.
Is this because of him?
I don't know.
Maybe now it's like, okay, well, Vlad, Vlad's happy to Vlad feels comfortable. Vlad Jr. feels comfortable. By the way, this was the Rob rant, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't get the appropriate background.
Keezer. Yeah. Aha! Come on, Keezer!
Keezer not paying attention in there. It's okay. Dylan says, in the military, we were allowed to have facial hair under certain circumstances, and it had to be under a certain length and well-groomed. Special forces /SEALs are the only ones allowed to grow it all the way out.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Like I said, there are plenty of jobs around America where there are certain, grooming and or dress code policies. I just think in professional sports, when you're like the only one doing it, it's kind of weird.
Yes. And, it's like someone said Thurman Munson had a mustache. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, good point. Reggie Jackson. That's true.
Yeah, I think they've been cool with the mustache.
Which is hilarious.
We draw
too.
The line at the beard.
Yeah, which is hilarious too, because to me, like the just mustache alone is like, it works for some people. Okay, but
imagine if like Philip Forsberg was a baseball player, played for the Yankees, just that stash out there, be awesome.
Yeah, like would the Yankees have been okay? Back in the day, one of the best relievers in the game was Raleigh Fingers for the Brewers. Would they have been okay with him? Is that why he never ended up on the Yankees, because of that amazing twirly mustache?
What I would love to know, like if back in the day, if Derek Jeter or Mariano Rivera ever looked at them and was just like, yeah, screw you guys, I'm growing a beard. What are they going to do about it?
Exactly.
Like, are they going to sit Rivera down?
Yeah, Rivera, sorry. Yeah. Oh, you don't want me to close every game now and be the greatest reliever of all time? Okay. That's okay. I've been paid enough. I'll just sit here and, groom my beard.
So rest easy, Yankees fans. You can now get all the talent you want because your beard policy is gone.
Oh,
at this
good.
Point.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally, the Yankees
been
can get
starved
some players.
For players.
I'm interested to hear what PK thinks. I'm sure he's mad, right?
He probably is.
It's our tradition. What are you talking about?
7371025 is our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.